Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. Welcome to our show today in Bible Prophecy Radio with Audrey Battle. It is good to have you with us. Thank you for eavesdropping and joining us on the show today. Well, praise the Lord. Another week has gone by, and we have another beautiful weekend up here in New England, coming to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island, where I am scheduled tomorrow morning, April the 19th, to preach at Life Resurrection Community Church. Now, folks, this church is less than 5 minutes away from where I live. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump away. I wish all of my speaking engagements were just right around the corner. But this church is just right around the corner from where I live here in Lincoln, Rhode Island, and I will be preaching there tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Steve Gomes is the pastor of that church and a wonderful, dear friend of mine. This man is just a role model to his people. He's a role model to his family. And he is just a wonderful blessing to me, him and his wife, Chantel. We are looking forward to being with him and his people Sunday morning, tomorrow morning, April 19th. Again, 10 a.m., Resurrection Community Church. I'm going to be preaching tomorrow morning on Zechariah's Holocaust and Messiah's future triumph. Of course, April the 15th is when Israel observed Yom HaShoah. And, of course, that is Holocaust Memorial Day, when sirens all across the nation sound and the whole nation, cars on the highway, stop right in their tracks. People get out. People in malls, shopping areas, or just walking the streets, stop and just stand in silence. The whole entire nation just completely freezes. And so I'm going to be talking about this subject tomorrow morning. And to show that Zechariah does talk about future Holocaust to arise. Not only once again, unfortunately, for the Jewish people, but also for the Gentile nations of the world. And folks, the Bible does not paint a pretty picture for the world in the future in the upcoming tribulation period. But there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is the return of Jesus Christ back to this earth to that carnage. But we know before all that can even happen, the next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church of the living God. That could happen, folks, at any moment, at any time. It could happen while I'm talking right now live on this radio show. Or if you've missed the live show and you're listening to the show in the archive, it could happen at any moment, at any time. And so that's the reason why it's important that you get ready and that you prepare for Jesus' soon return at the rapture. And I say this all the time, folks, and I never get tired of saying it. If you are not saved, if you've never been born again, you are one heartbeat away from going to hell, or you are one trumpet sound away from being left behind. And I implore you, don't be left behind, and do not go to hell for the rest of eternity. People say, well, God's a God of love, a God of mercy and compassion. Yes, he is. So why would God throw me in hell? God doesn't throw anybody in hell. You make the decision to go there. And so it just makes sense right now. As 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Because, folks, tomorrow could be too late. Now, before we begin on today's show, and I'm not going to be looking at news stories today, but I am going to be answering your prophecy questions. Questions we recently received and questions that we got before. We are going to answer your prophecy question. Now, if you have a question, you can call me toll free, 877-659-8944. That's a toll free number all across the United States. If you have issues with that toll free number, the guest call-in number, a second number I can give you, 805-285-9743. Again, the toll-free number, 877-659-8944. The guest call-in number, 805-285-9743. If you are a Facebook friend of mine, then you can type in your question in the comments box. Just, you know, use your first name only. And then make your question brief so that we can have time to get to other questions. You can also, folks, find me on the three major social networks. You can find me on Facebook. Send me a Facebook friend request, simply August Rosado. And then I'll make sure that we accept your friend request. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's simply August Rosado, Bible_prophecy. And then you can also follow me on LinkedIn, simply Evangelist August Rosado. So you can follow me on those three major social networks. If you also want to receive a weekly email newsletter, then go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. That's todayinbibleprophecy.org. Type in your email address, and you'll start receiving our weekly newsletters. They go out every single week. And, folks, also, we're making preparations right now for our upcoming Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel, Lord willing, next year, 2016. The dates we're looking at is going to be around maybe the end of February, going into early March. We'd love to have you make preparations to join us on our prophecy tour to Israel with an option to Petra. So if you would like to join us, now is the time to make those preparations. If you need more questions, if you have questions, not need them, but if you have questions, send me an email, BibleProphecy@gmail.com. August.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Make sure you spell prophecy with a C. And I'll try to answer any questions you have, even if you need a phone call back. Provide me with your phone number. And so we're making those preparations right now. Also in June, I'll be leaving for Israel for 18 days with Dr. Todd Baker, who is the theologian for Zoe Levitt Ministries. I will be leaving for Israel with him for 18 days. Todd and I pray every Saturday. He calls me from Dallas. Right now he's in Sweden. And we pray every single weekend, upcoming missions trip to Israel. I'm also scheduled with another church next month to go to Israel with them to teach Bible prophecy on location. And so please pray for that and asking for God's guidance and direction in that area. So this is going to be a pretty busy year for us. This is actually the first time that I've taken multiple trips to Israel in 1 year. And so please pray for us. Please pray for this ministry. And also, we have two new CDs available that I would really like to get into your hands. The first CD is the Zechariah Factor, where Zechariah talks about a coming war for the city of Jerusalem and how God said one day he's going to defend the city of Jerusalem because He is jealous for Jerusalem with great jealousy and fury. God says he is aggressively possessive of Jerusalem. And he will fight those nations who will one day come up against the state of Israel in an attempt to annihilate the Jewish people and take Jerusalem away from the Jews. God said, I will aggressively defend Jerusalem. You can purchase that CD from us for $7, including shipping and handling. Go to the website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Click the donate button and just simply put on there that you want the Zechariah Factor CD message. The other new CD we have in relation with Zechariah is Zechariah's Holocaust and Messiah's Future Triumph. I'll be preaching that message tomorrow morning at Life Resurrection Community Church right here in my backyard, Lincoln, Rhode Island. You can also get a copy of that message by, again, going to the website, todayinbibleprophecy.org, click on the donate button, and just make sure you type in that you want to receive either the Zechariah Factor or Zechariah's Holocaust. You can also purchase both of them for $14, again, including shipping and handling. And we'll make sure that we get those CDs right out to you. So again, folks, just on today's show will be Prophecy Q&A. I will attempt to answer your prophecy questions. You can, again, either use the toll-free number, 877-659-8944, or you can use the guest call-in number at 805-9743. 805-285-9743. And so I hope that you would interact with us today on the program and just let us know that you do tune in, that you do listen, and that encourages me to know that there are people who listen out there. You know, folks, I'm going to be upfront and honest with all of you on today's program. We have more archived listeners than we do live listeners. I know everybody's schedule is pretty busy. People work on Saturdays, or people have either weddings or picnics, especially with beautiful weather like we've been having. You know, people just don't want to sit in a house for 45 minutes or an hour and a half to listen to a show when they know they can listen to the archive program. And I'm not beefing about that. I'm just glad that people tune into the show. But again, we have more archive listeners than we do live listeners. We don't even have less than a handful of live listeners, but we do have a whole lot of people who listen to the archive. And that's what gets me, keeps me going, is knowing that people are listening. And there are those Christians out there who do love Bible prophecy. They do love the Word of God. And they do listen in every single week. So it would just be great to hear from you once in a while. Just shoot me an email. Just say, August, you know, we are listening to the show. We appreciate it. You know, feedback just really means a lot to those who are in full-time ministry. Just to let them know that you are there. Let me know if you are there and that you do appreciate the program. And we're just so grateful for that. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to look to answer your prophecy questions. And so what I'm going to do right now is get to the first prophecy question. This is from Jean. She's from Brooklyn, New York. She says, Pastor Rosado, I'd love to know why more churches hardly ever talk about the one new man mentioned in the Bible or even talk about biblical Torah, Judaism, for that matter. There seems to be hardly any mention about witnessing to the Jews as well. When the word says to the Jew first, thanks for letting me write to you. Love your appearances on Lamb and Lion Ministries. Well, Gene, I want to thank you for that question. Now, when you talk about the one new man, We know that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That is the one new man. A person does not become regenerated or born again by reading the Torah or embracing traditional Judaism. I don't think that's where you're going, but that's how somebody would take it. And so one person becomes born again or a new person, a new creature, a new creation, is when they trust in the Jewish Messiah, when they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so I know a lot of good, solid, fundamental Bible-believing churches that emphasize soul winning. They emphasize, reaching out to lost people and things of that sort. And it's true you don't hear a lot about Jewish evangelism. That's unfortunate. Even in a lot of these missions conferences and churches, you don't really hear that much about Jewish evangelism. And, of course, you alluded to Romans 1:16, where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Jesus said in Matthew 10:6, I've only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus, early on in his ministry was to the Jewish people only, to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the Jewish people. Unfortunately, they rejected Jesus, and the kingdom was put on hold and postponed till a future time. And so we need to be sharing the gospel with the Jewish people. That's what Dr. Todd Baker and myself will be doing, Lord willing, in June for 18 days. We're going to be sharing the gospel with the Jews. We're going to be passing out Hebrew Bibles. That's what he's been doing for the 33 times he's been to Israel. He's been sharing the gospel with the Jewish people. They know him out there. And so for him to ask me to join him, just means a lot to me. And so it's unfortunate, Gene, that many people do not, many Christians, rather, and churches, and even missions conferences, do not emphasize reaching out to the Jewish people, sharing the gospel with the Jewish people. Remember, it went to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek and to the Gentile. And so, Gene, I want to thank you so much for your question. I hope that you continue to tune in to our broadcast. And so we thank you so much for that. And so Robin, I'm not sure exactly where she's from. She doesn't say. She says, so do you really feel with the world situation that the rapture will occur soon? No dates, just your opinion. I do believe, Robin, that with the world situation deteriorating, that the rapture of the church could happen very, very soon. Now, Paul the Apostle said in 2 Timothy 3:12-13, he says that, yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Bible-believing Christians today are being killed and persecuted for their faith, especially those Christian missionaries who are out in countries that are hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ, are losing their lives. ISIS, the terrorist organization controlling parts of Iraq and parts of Syria, said that they will eliminate all traces of Christianity. They have been killing Christians, burning and looting churches, breaking crosses off the steeples of churches. The world situation, Robin, is deteriorating. It's not getting any better. It's only going to get worse. We know that based on what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, Matthew 24, there's a lot of good spiritual truth there, but it's a technical application and interpretation for the Jewish people. But Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Even though Matthew 24 deals with the tribulation period, we see that happening right now. That will set the stage for that event to happen in the tribulation period. If you think it's bad now, the worst is yet to come. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, he says, "This know also, that in the last days," and I believe we'll live it in the last days, "that in the last days, perilous times shall come." And then Paul gives us the characteristics of those last days. He says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." We see that going on right now. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away." This is exactly what we see happening right now, Robin. We're in the last days, not getting any better. It's only going to get worse. So what is that telling us? The rapture of the church is ripe to happen at any moment, at any time. Nothing has to be fulfilled in order for the rapture to take place. There are no signs that precede the rapture. So we can get rid of this blood moon nonsense, all this other nonsense that so-called prophecy teachers are propagating today. No signs precede the rapture. Nothing has to be fulfilled in order for the rapture to take place. We don't know the day, and we don't know the hour based on Matthew 24 and verse 36. However, we can know the times and the seasons of the coming of the Lord. And I believe we're living in those times and seasons right now. That's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. But ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. For when they," not us, not the church, not believers, "they," the unregenerate, unbelievers, "for when they shall say peace and safety, then," that was me slapping my hands, by the way, for drama, "then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And so we don't know the day and the hour, but I believe that we are living in the times and the seasons of the coming of the Lord. So, Robert, I want to thank you so much. Question. Well, here is my good friend, Brother Manny. I'm not going to say his last name, but Brother Manny. He's Puerto Rican just like I am. And he is a missionary to Puerto Rico. I've heard Brother Manny preach many times. Saw him in North Carolina a few years back. Really good preacher. And I really appreciate Brother Manny. He sends me in a question. He says, "Brother August, we know that the church will be raptured before the tribulation period. But do you believe Matthew 24, 29 through 31 is referring to a post-tribulation rapture of the tribulation saints, particularly in the part where it says, 'And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other'?" Brother Manny, want to thank you so much for your question. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. And I know Brother Manny, as well as myself, we're a couple of fundamental Baptist preachers. And Brother Manny and I do believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. He stated that in his question, and we know the church will be raptured before the start of Daniel's 70th week of prophecy. That would be that final seven-year countdown, that seven-year period of tribulation. But Brother Manny, we know that many post-tribbers try to use Matthew 24, 29-31 to teach a post-tribulation rapture. It does not. There is a hermeneutical interpretation here that must be applied. And that hermeneutical interpretation is, who is he speaking? Who is he speaking to? What is he speaking about? when we study Bible prophecy, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but when we study Bible prophecy, we must take it grammatical, historical, and literal interpretation. And when we do this, doctrine falls into place. It fits like a hand in a glove. The problem is that with these pre-rathers, post-tribbers, and mid-tribbers, they allegorize and spiritualize the Bible to death. And by doing so, you can make it sound any way that you want. Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Again, Matthew 24 is a prophecy technically to the Jewish people, not to the church, not to Christians. There's a lot of good spiritual truths in Matthew 24, but technically it's a prophecy for Israel and the Jewish people. Matthew 24 deals only with the tribulation period. Matthew 25 deals with the kingdom. Matthew 24 with the tribulation period. We know that at the end of the 7-year period of tribulation, a trumpet is going to sound. When that trumpet sounds, it says that he will gather his elect from the four winds of the heaven. It does not say that he calls them up to the four winds of the heaven. He gathers them. That word means things. He gathers them from the four winds of heaven. You see, at the rapture, a trumpet sounds. We are caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. At the end of the tribulation period, another trumpet sounds, a second trumpet sounds, and that is not to catch up, but to gather, to collect, in the literal Greek, to collect his elect from the four winds of the heaven. Well, who are these elect? These are those who got saved after the rapture, during the tribulation period. They survived the tribulation period, and then that trumpet sounds to gather these elect, these saved of the tribulation period, to gather them from the four winds of the heaven, in other words, all the nations of the world, to gather them to the city of Jerusalem for the inauguration of the millennial kingdom. Now, I take that patient because I'm looking at it, Manny, from its literal point of view, not allegorical or spiritual, from its literal point of view. A trumpet sounds, a second trumpet, and a lot of these people confuse that trumpet with the trumpet of 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 and 1 Corinthians 15:51, 52. And they even try to equate the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15:51, 52 with the seventh trump of Revelation 11:15. It doesn't fit. That has nothing to do with the rapture. That seven, and I know I'm chasing a rabbit here, Manny, just bear with me. That seventh trump in Revelation 11:15 contains the final seven series of judgments, and that would be the vial or the bowl judgments in Revelation chapters 15 and 16. John in Revelation never calls it a last trump. He just says the seventh trumpet, and it's twofold. Number one, to warn the world, more judgment is coming, but the good news, Jesus Christ will come back to establish his kingdom. So that has nothing to do with the last trump of 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. A trumpet at the rapture calls the church out of the world. We're caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. 7 years later, a second trumpet sounds, Matthew 24, 29 through 31, and that trumpet sounds to gather the elect, the saved of the tribulation period, from all the nations of the world, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's under the heaven, by the way. We find that phrase throughout the Bible, from under heaven. That talks about the nations of the world. To gather the elect from the four winds of the heaven, all the nations of the world, to gather them to the city of Jerusalem for the inauguration of the millennial kingdom. Remember what Jesus Christ talks about, and I believe it's in Matthew chapter 13, about that separation. And Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, he will separate the sheep from the goats. He says, two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, one shall be left. That's not the rapture. One shall be taken and cast into hell, the other left to go into the millennial kingdom. So that's what Matthew 24, 29 through 31, as well as Matthew 13, as well as Matthew 5, Manny, is talking about. It simply does not refer to a post-tribulation rapture. That's just based on allegorizing and spiritualizing the Bible to make it sound any way that they want. So, Brother Manny, thank you so very much. I appreciate you, buddy. Listen, man, you keep up the good work. I appreciate everything that you're doing. And by the way, Brother Manny just said this excellent answer. That makes so much sense. Thank you, Brother August. Love your show and ministry. God bless you. And come to Puerto Rico and preach for us someday. You know something, Brother Manny? I'm glad you brought that up, because I've always been praying to go back to my roots here in Puerto Rico and find a good a fundamental Bible-believing church to preach at. So, Manny, if you have a date down the road, my wife and I would love to come to Puerto Rico and preach for you at your church, brother. You give me a date, and let's see if we can try to work on that. I appreciate you, brother. God bless you, Brother Manny. We love you, my friend. Manny, he's just a real blessing, and I really appreciate him. What I want to do right now is get to another question. Man, we're already running out of time here. This one is from Heather, and again, we don't know where she's from. She doesn't say, but she says, do you believe that without a great revival, America will fall? Well, Heather, I believe in revival. I still believe that we can have a last days revival, but I don't think that even with the revival, it will stop the judgment of God from coming on America. Now, I'm reminded of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. America is in trouble. America is in rebellion against God. And I believe America is ripe for judgment. I still believe that America can experience a last days revival, but I do not believe it's going to stop the judgment of God. It may postpone it a little bit, but I don't think it's going to stop the judgment of God. God's judgment is still going to come upon this world, and unfortunately, even on America, because we are in rebellion against God. Now, I've heard some prophecy teachers say in the past, I don't believe that a revival can come to America. It's too late, and that, I don't believe in the last days revival. I disagree with them. I still believe we can have revival. I still believe a revival can come to America. I still believe America does have some room to repent. Do I see that happening here and there? But as a whole, I don't see it happening. And so I do believe that judgment is coming. But we still can have a last days revival, still preach the gospel, and still win souls to Jesus Christ. But I believe that America is inevitable, as well as the fall of the nations is inevitable. And I do believe that judgment is still coming. I got a question here from Carol, and she says, I just feel like it's going to be here a lot sooner than people want to believe. Like it says, be watchful and be ready. I agree with you, Carol. I believe it's going to be here sooner than later, and we are told to be watchful and ready. Jesus Christ said that in Matthew. He says, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so we're told by Paul in reference to the rapture in Titus 2:11 through 13. He says, for the grace of God of bringing salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we are told prior to the coming of the Lord that we as the body of Messiah, we as the body of Christ, that we have to live holy, righteously, and godly in this present world. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I agree with you, Carol. I believe it's going to be here sooner than later. And we ought to be watchful, be ready, keep winning souls for the Lord, keep living holy, righteous lives until he returns. I got a question from Majid from Pakistan, all the way out in the Middle East. Majid from Pakistan says this, please let me know that there is any prophecy about the second coming of Christ. Majid, there are so many prophecies about the second coming out. Majid, let me just clarify something here. When you say the second coming, you're referring to exactly that, the second coming. The second coming is different from the rapture. The rapture is when Jesus Christ comes for his church. The second coming is when he comes back with his church. The rapture and the second coming is separated by a seven-year period described as the tribulation period. Now, the Jewish prophets of the Old Testament, they saw the mountain peaks. They did not see the valley. The mountain peak that they saw in the Old Testament was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53, Daniel 9:26, Psalm 22. They saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ, chapter 16, and verse number 10. They saw the birth of Jesus Christ, Micah chapter 5, and verse number 2. They saw the second coming of Jesus Christ, Zechariah 12:10, Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 2. So they saw all of those prophecies. What they did not see was the valley. The valley is, number one, the church, the length of the church age, and the rapture of the church. The Jewish prophets had no revelation concerning the church age, and the rapture of the church. They did see those mountain peaks. And one of those mountain peaks is the second coming of Jesus Christ. This will be at the end, Majid, of the tribulation period, when he will come back and he will fight against those nations who are ready to make war with him. The Bible says in Revelation 17:14, these shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The Antichrist and the false prophet will mobilize all the nations of the world to make war with Jesus. Revelation 19:19-20. John said, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before them, in which they had deceived the world and had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both, the Antichrist and false prophet, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And then we know that Satan will be cast into a bottomless pit. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. At the end of that 1,000-year millennial kingdom reign of Christ, Satan is loosed out of that bottomless pit. Why? Because God said so. He'll try to overthrow the kingdom of Christ one final time, and then he finally meets permanent demise. That's Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. So there are scores of prophecies, Majid, about the second coming of Jesus in the Old Testament. The prophets even saw, the Old Testament prophets even saw the millennial kingdom. That's Isaiah chapter number 11, Daniel chapter number 2. And so they saw the prophecies about the second coming, the kingdom, the crucifixion, the resurrection. They saw all those mountain peaks. They did not see the valleys, which is the church age, and the rapture of the church. So I hope, Haji, that you look at those prophecies and study them on your own time. But remember, always look for a literal, grammatical, and historical interpretation. And by doing so, you will never go wrong. Okay, let's see. This one is from Steve right here. He says, hi, August. Thanks for the newsletter. I was wondering if you knew how long the Arabs have portrayed Jesus Christ as an Arab. Has it been decades, or just recently the Arabs are calling Jesus an Arab? Thanks for your time and efforts, August. Steve. Well, I tell you, Steve, that's a really, really good question. the Arabs did not come on the scene until the 7th century A.D. Now, we're talking some 700 years after the ministry of Jesus Christ. But I would have to say, Steve, that it would probably be as of recent that the Arabs are now portraying Jesus Christ as an Arab. Probably, you know, this is probably just taking shape now in the 20th century, that you have those within the Palestinian Authority that are saying that Jesus Christ was a Palestinian revolutionary, Jesus Christ was an Arab, the prophets of the Old Testament were all Arabs, Abraham was an Arab, Jeremiah was an Arab, the apostles were all Arabs. And so I would have to say that this was something that was recent. And so it's a shame that they even like to, how can I put it, they like to rearrange the Bible story, if you will. They will say in Genesis 22, that Abraham took Ishmael up to Mount Moriah for sacrifice and not Isaac. They say that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for the sins of mankind. He is not the Son of God. Don't say that God has a son. That's what they teach in the Quran. And so they're propaganda. They're revisionists. And so I would have to say, Steve, this is something that is of recent and not something back, you know, over the decades. And so it's a shame that they like to revise things. They don't get a Bible story straight, and they're propagandists. And so Jesus Christ is a Jew from the tribe of Judah. That's where we get the word Jew from. A Jew is someone from Judah. Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5:5. He is a Jew, according to John chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Genesis 49:10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. Christians say Shiloh, but the proper pronunciation in Israel is Shiloh. The rabbis say Shiloh is another name for the Messiah, Mashiach, ben David, ben Abraham, Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's Matthew 1:1. That's Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is a Jew. The disciples were Jews. All of the apostles, Old Testament prophets, all Jews. All the authors of the Bible were Jewish. So, Steve, thank you so very much for your question. Folks, I believe that's all the time that we have for questions. I had a wonderful time doing this. I hope we can do this once again soon. So, folks, as I bring my broadcast to a close, don't forget, if you want to receive our prophecy newsletters every week, go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Type in your email address, and you'll see our newsletters every single week. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, April 19th, I will be preaching at Life Resurrection Community Church right here in my own backyard in Lincoln, Rhode Island. And that will be at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, April 19th. So if you live anywhere in the Rhode Island area, come on out to Life Resurrection Community Church, and I will be preaching on Zechariah's Holocaust and Messiah's future triumph. I hope to see you there. Would love to meet you. Don't forget, our prophecy tour to Israel will be for next year, Lord willing, 2016. I would love to have you join us on that prophecy tour where I will be teaching Bible prophecy on location. We will have such a wonderful, wonderful time. If you want more information about that, shoot me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Don't forget to find me on the social networks, on Twitter, August Rosado, Bible_prophecy, on LinkedIn, Evangelist August Rosado, and on Facebook, simply August Rosado. And folks, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow could be too late. Repent of your sins. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart, save you from your sins, and you'll be ready for that wonderful event we call the rapture. Until next week, this is August Rosado saying, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Don't forget to pray for Jesus Christ.